Hello, and welcome to Bloom On. My name is Hamlet Lamoss with Spot 127. Kat, Ellie, and Jordan are with Bloom 365, an advocacy organization that works to assure young people have a voice in preventing power and control-based violence. Today, we're talking about the tipping points of change in teen relationship violence. So let's get started. Thank you all for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So it's been said that when 10% of a group changes the group think or group behaviors, others catch on. For instance, most of us use a smartphone, but before the touchscreen, there was the flip phone and the BlackBerry phone with buttons. The smartphone started to become cool when 10% of the population switched from button keypads to flat screens. Do you see this as the same for changing how we think of issues of teen dating abuse, or will it be more?
I think very generally, you could say it's the same. The theory that once a certain amount of people start doing things, other people will catch on. I'm thinking that it would be a little bit more simply because when you're looking at teen dating abuse and all of the root causes of it, you're looking at like these big societal structures like the patriarchy and forms of oppression and gender norms and things like that, and being able to uproot and change the way that we look at those is a lot harder than saying, oh, this BlackBerry is no longer efficient, I'm going to get an iPhone sort of thing.
I would totally tend to agree with that, that it's going to be more than 10%, but at the same time, I think at 10%, there's going to be this drastic change. Maybe not a complete change, but definitely a leap instead of a step in the right direction of changing societal norms, unhealthy gender norms, accepting sexual orientations and identities, etc.
Would any of you say, and maybe this is completely off, but would any of you say that perhaps the reason that it might take more than 10% in order to start a wave of change is because people, teens, in these kinds of situations are not taken as seriously when it comes to society at large?
I absolutely think that. I think that people tend to see teens as kind of, like what you said, they're just not taken seriously. And you can see that lately teens have really been taking a step up, like with the March for Our Lives. And that's really the first time that we've seen teens on like this national level really taking a step to change something. And I think that, unfortunately, we do have to be drastic and be radical in order to get our needs listened to.
What would be a way to start getting to this tipping point? Obviously, there's having conversations like we're doing now, but what else?
I think just one of the big things that we hear in Bloom is it's okay to ruin someone's joke. And what we mean by that is if you hear a joke that someone says that might be like offensive to maybe women or a certain group of people, like it's okay to shut it down and say hey. And it's when those people that like want to do that feel it's inappropriate, like hearing things and shutting it down in public, are comfortable with that. I think that's gonna spread like wildfire, and suddenly people are gonna begin to bring that 10% and begin to believe that that's not okay.
To add on to that, I think education is just the number one way to really spark that fire, because really when you look at the root causes, they start when you're so young. Like, we have such strict gender norms and just so much power and control starting from when kids are babies. So just getting into schools or just teaching young kids from the get-go that like this kind of behavior isn't okay is really where you start to see it tipping.
So when we get to that tipping point, what's it going to take to uproot the root causes of abuse and violence? What Bloom calls wilting, the exception and not the norm.
I think, again, like what Ellie was saying with the March for Our Lives, it's going to take those people to stand out. So when we do trainings, we show the dancing guy and how he starts out dancing by himself, and then we go on and we continue and you start to see all of these people join. So I think what it's going to take is people stepping out of their comfort zones. So like with different movements that we've seen, these people have definitely stepped out of their comfort zones enough to say like, this is enough, enough is enough, and that's it, we're not going to take anymore. So people can lead as well.
And through what means would you get people out of their comfort zone?
To tell them nothing's going to change if you don't step up and do something about it, kind of thing. So like a call to action. So that could be to our educators, to our administrators, to politicians, especially to young people. But I think young people are definitely more open to the idea. So reaching into those higher powers and saying like a call to action for sure.
I would even say not just encouraging, but empowering people to say that like you have the ability to make a change, that you like, if someone else could do it, why can't you do it, sort of thing. That like anybody could do it, you just have to step up and try.
So let's imagine a place where a culture of respect and support is the norm. One could argue that going back to a culture of wilting could also be a tipping point. How would we avoid it to maintain healthy teen relationships?
I would say that that would start with, again, like Ellie was saying, with little children. So ensuring that they grow up knowing about good self-esteem and those red flags so they can work to prevent it. So it starts with the younger and younger generations.
I also think just making resources like the ones we offer at Bloom with red flags and all of those kinds of things more widely available so that everyone can kind of recognize when that's happening and what to do to prevent it or how to help someone who's going through it.
And as we mentioned earlier, it's also about just like having the conversations. So if everybody knows that respect and support is normal, you have to maintain those conversations, like what Jordan and Ellie had both mentioned about education. You have to continue talking about it as they're growing up and as they're experiencing new things with different people.
Yeah, so if in theory that respect and a blooming culture would be the norm, and that would also have to kind of assume that you would still have that good support system, so like between a student and a teacher or a parent and a child, that would be like okay to talk about those open conversations, having those reliable sources behind your back in case like the exception in this case would be the wilting culture would happen.
Now, besides the population of people who are kind of timid when it comes to affirming victims of abuse who really need another push to try and get involved in the movement, there is also the population of people who are completely against that. They, from the perspective of Bloom, at least, they advocate for what is a rather unhealthy system of treating teens who have undergone abuse. What would you say to that segment of the population?
Well, so long story short, when I went to the Take Back the Night March, we had a couple people who gave us some pretty extreme pushback, like you were talking about. And I think just reassuring, not feeding into that we're going to be angry feminists and get in their face, but that we're going to be calm and just hit them with education, because when people come at us like that and kind of come at us sideways, to say it, yelling at them is never going to be like a solution for that. So just hitting them with education and calm and love, because showing them anything less is kind of what they're doing. So keeping on our level of bringing love on others more would be the solution.
And that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank all of my guests here for coming in and talking. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Hamlet Lamos with Spot 127, and thank you for listening.